Hi, this is Rachel on Recovery. We've got a special guest today with us, Cheryl Costo. She's going to tell us a little bit about herself, and then she's going to answer some questions for us. Cheryl, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, hi, Rachel. I am 41 years old, and I grew up in Augusta, Georgia. I was born and raised there by two parents that were married until I was about 14. They decided to break that up and get divorced. I also have an older sister. She's like 4 years my elder. And we grew up in I don't know how to describe the home life. It was stable, but not what you would call ideal. As far as we always had electric, we always had water, we always had a roof over our head and clothes on our back. Those types of things were taken care of. So there's that. And they, when they divorced, they basically divorced all of us, my sister as well. We were kind of left as wayward children. I was left to fend for myself at a very young age, 14 years old. And I was, left to kind of get by any means necessary. I had little odd jobs, working restaurants, fast food, whoever would hire me at 14, and then moved on to Goodwill Industries. They hired me when I was 15. Ended up in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina at 17 and met my first love there and ended up getting married to him. I was in adult entertainment at that point in my life. And we ended up married and had my first child. Then I got divorced because, with the adult entertainment, that didn't work out so well with the marriage. He did stray in the marriage and I did divorce him. And then later on, ended up with some real bad drug addiction issues. Had two more children that are not with me either. I have three children, none of whom were really raised all the way by me. The first child was with his father from the age of 4 on. And also, I have a little girl that is 15 now and a little boy that is 11 now. And they are both with my mother, and that's a whole nother ball game there. Bad decisions made while under the influence of illegal drugs. But I am 41 years old now, and I have been clean and on the other side of drug addiction now for 5 years, and I'm happy to say that I am a grateful recovering addict, and God has led me to where I'm at today, which is pretty joyful, but still with some issues, underlined issues.
Okay, we're going to talk about your borderline mother because we do that around here. Here's our first question. When did you realize something wasn't right with your mom?
Oh, well, my mother was what I would consider to be a good mother, as far as what I know about mothering. When I was a child, a very young child, I remember her, tucking me into bed or, cooking dinner for us when she got off work and teaching me how to clean and, just kind of being there, giving me some guidance and how to's and what in life all the way up until the point of the divorce. So I'm going to, and then, when divorce happened, I went from a mother that worked a job and came home to her family every night and actually acted like she, kind of enjoyed her children to a mother that did not come home at all. And if she did, she was drunk. And, sometimes there were men. More than one, not several, but more than one. And, they would come in drunk, smelling of alcohol. And that's, whenever she decided to show up.
How did your mom's BPD affect your education?
Well, I was 14 when this was going on. And my dad was, I chose to live with my mom at first. I was 14 in the state of Georgia. You're allowed to choose who you would like to stay with. So being that my mother was my closest person that, you know, was always around and that I depended on, and my mother, I chose to stay with her in the beginning of this mess. And she, like I said, you know, her behavior changed drastically during this time in her life and in mine. And so my education was very much hindered. I was left alone to, you know, just do whatever. And I chose the wrong roads and the wrong friends and hanging out with the wrong people and doing the wrong things. You know, I was more interested in boys and started getting into drugs. Started smoking pot and started drinking alcohol. I remember waking up several mornings in the age of 14 with a bottle of Boone's Farm, you know, clutched underneath my arm, and drinking half gallons of vodka with much older men, and partying and living that kind of lifestyle when I was supposed to be going to school. So as far as an education, you can pretty much say I didn't get one, because I was a forgotten child. And I quit school basically at the age of 15 for good. I was, after the age of 15, I never attended school again.
How has this affected your ability to date?
Well, I didn't have good, I didn't have a good role model as far as, men go. My dad, he wasn't a horrible man at all. I love my father very much, as a matter of fact, but he didn't treat my mom the way I wanted to be treated. I knew that the way that she was being treated by him was not something that I would set my standards on, as far as, I guess I built my own personality somehow, somewhere, some friend or some household that I had seen, showed me something that I liked better than what I saw in my own home. As far as, you know, role models go, as far as the relationship, my father cheated on my mother. This was exposed, and you know, for the family to know about, and I didn't like that. I know that my mother was very hurt by that. Also, you know, I was called names like, you know, whore, slut, you know, things of that nature when like sexy lingerie or, you know, something pretty underwear and things like that were found in my drawers, by my mother and by my father. So I was called ugly names from the very beginning, because I enjoyed nice lingerie. So I don't know exactly how to answer that as far as how my mother affected my, how she affected my dating life, but I think it was pretty horrific, really, because I didn't really have any good things to base it on except for outside my home, you know, maybe at a friend's house or somebody that I went to try to go to church with and things like that. I knew that my life, because I did get out of the house a little, was not, it didn't seem as nice as the people that I was choosing to hang out with at the time before I went astray with the drugs and alcohol.
Okay. How has this affected your career?
Well, Rachel, let's see, a career. That would mean that I went to school, got an education, and actually made a career for myself. These things did not happen for me. So I would greatly say that this, my, you know, my choices, and the effects of my mother and her mental health disorder definitely affected my life greatly for many, many, many years. And I don't play victim. You know, I've realized that, you know, we are who we are, and I've accepted my choices. Everybody has choices in these matters. But as far as a career, I don't have one to this day. I'm 41. I don't have a career. I am a janitor, and I enjoy my job. I enjoy cleaning. It's like a therapeutic coping mechanism for me, and it has been for many years. And I enjoy the job that I do now, but it's not a what I would call a career. I did get my GED when I was 33 years old in a jailhouse. and they offered a GED program when I was locked up for a domestic violence charge. I had put my hands on my boyfriend because I was very angry about a lot of issues in my life that I had not dealt with healthy, and I did put my hands on him, and I went to jail. I obtained my GED when I was 33 years old. And then after that, I went on to do some college, took a course in medical assistance, and, I realized after a couple of quarters of that, I wasn't interested in ever doing that job, so I quit, because I really wasn't doing it for me. I was doing it for my mother, because she kept telling me how much I needed to have an education and how much I needed to make something of myself, and, you know, the things that I were doing, like, you know, serving and waiting tables and things like that, you know, wasn't good choices, and they weren't careers, and I needed to have a career. So I kind of fell into trying to please mom, and kind of fell out of me. So the whole going to college wasn't really, at least that program wasn't for me. By the time I tried to go to college, like I said, I was 33 and had already messed up plenty of my life as far as a criminal record. And the things that I wanted to go to school for was the pharmaceutical technician, or I also would, you know, was interested in the investigation unit, like for police. And I could not do either one of those. The board would, you know, I was told by the dean of the school that the board would never certify me because of my history of, misdemeanor crimes or whatever, and as well as the DUI that I had on my record. And I would never be certified for the board to be in a pharmacy.
That's got to be a tough blow.
It really was. You know, they tell you your whole life you can be anything you want to be. And, you know, you make some mistakes. Do your time. You know, I did my crime and I did my time. And I get out and try to go to college and, you know, really try to get my life on the right track and do something that I was definitely called for and interested in, and was not allowed to do it. And that really was a bummer. And so the only field that would accept me was the medical field. And that's honestly the reason that I signed up for it, was that it was the only field that would accept my record and that I could get certified in.
And even if you had finished, do you think you could have landed a job in it?
That's why I quit, because I knew how many people were, you know, this particular college that I went to was more of a private college. And so they did the job placement and things like that. And that's the reason that I wanted to go to this school, because I knew that at the end of it, they would be placing me at a job. But even that wasn't a guarantee, and they let me know that up front. Because of the fact that I had so much on my record by this point, and, you know, I saw so many, you know, aspiring young women, you know, granted, I was so happy for them that they were, you know, discovering themselves and doing the right thing with their life. And I was very supportive. And at the same time, it was a reality check, as in, you know, when I go to these interviews and I'm up against, you know, somebody with a clean record that doesn't have all these things on their record, and they've got the same education as me, you know, who do you think's going to get the job? You know, they're younger, they are absolutely, you know, clean recorded, you know, they don't have a record in a criminal history. I don't know, I just saw things for reality of what I was up against. And I really was not interested in the field in itself. It wasn't for me.
Fair enough. I mean, if you've got a really uphill battle, you've got to really want it.
Yeah, and I didn't. I didn't want it bad enough. I wanted other things, like family. And, you know, granted, I knew that I needed to have a career of some sort, or at least just a job. I wasn't so much looking for a career as I was just something to pay the bills, to keep a roof over my head, and to try to, at this point, gain custody and things like that of my children back. So I wasn't really interested in having a career that I wasn't interested in. Yeah.
How has this impacted your own mental field, mental health with your mother, with the way that she was?
Oh my. Well, my mother still on a daily basis, impacts my mental health, not so much within the last 3 years, because, within the last 3 years, I have come to know our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, and that made all the difference in my life. And so I don't let her penetrate my, you know, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but I don't let her in like I used to. I don't let her affect my...
You're setting boundaries.
Absolutely. I set boundaries, and I'm okay with who I am today, and I don't base my worth off of, definitely not off of, what she thinks or has to say about me. So I've put up the boundaries for good, healthy reasons for myself and my own sanity.
Okay. How has this affected your physical health, including like headaches? Do you get headaches?
Physical health, I think, well, for the most part, I'm physically healthy. I stay pretty active. I'm always having to work, you know, for a living and make sure that, you know, and I've never wanted to be, obese. I guess maybe now I kind of am. I don't know. I guess if you look at the doctor's charts for my height, I'm only supposed to be a certain weight, and I think I'm 30 pounds over, which is obese. I feel good in my skin though. And, I think I may still be struggling with some addiction issues, even though I'm a recovering addict on the illegal drugs. I still struggle with food addiction. And so it's a real thing for me. And even though I like to eat healthy foods, my portion control sometimes can go up and down. And, you know, so there, my weight patterns kind of go up and down as well. And I think that that's something that needs to be, you know, kind of looked at. I've looked into going to like Overeater Anonymous groups and things like that, because just because I'm not 500 pounds now, or even, let's not just be that drastic, but even I'm not even pushing like 250 yet. But I know that if I continue some of these patterns that I have in my life, that I could be, and that my health will become poor. You know, high cholesterol, you know, high blood pressure. I went today because I donate plasma twice a week now, you know, for extra supplemental income. My protein was low, and, you know, I feel like I'm eating healthy and, you know, plenty of protein and things like that. But so overall, my health, I'm sure, you know, it's been affected. It's been affected big time. Everything and everyone in my family was affected by my drug addiction. But I don't live in the past today. I look forward to today. I live with a lot of joy in my heart. And I've come a long way. And I'm happy about the progress that I've made. Whether they choose to realize, you know, that, or even give me the time of day to see the changes made, you know, well, that's their decisions and they're entitled to them. But I keep a good close group of friends around me that keep me in good spirits, which probably makes my health like a lot better than it ever used to be.
Yeah. What has been the most helpful tool when dealing with your mother?
Well, for me, my most helpful tool was Jesus. Honestly, I can't say anything else, because anything else would just be a lie. My Savior, you know, saved my life, saved my mind, saved my memories. He just saved me. I always felt alone in the world and never felt like I really had anything or anyone to lean on. I've had a lot of family members just let me down, and it was constant letdowns, and strangers were nicer to me than my own blood most of my life. And so I found family in the street, and literally I pretty much still feel that way for the most part. Like, my family is people that I've been knowing for years that are not any relation to me at all. And so my answer to that has to be Jesus. Jesus helps me cope, the word and the studying of the Bible and applying it to my life, and turning the other cheek and not being learning how to love without having to give all of myself to someone that I love. It doesn't say we have to like everybody in that Bible. It just says that we should love one another and do, the right thing at the right time for our fellow person. And I strongly live by that. I still live by that, even with people that hurt me. It's harder to go through with family members and people that have hurt you, but I still try to live my life in an upright manner, no matter how they act or treat me. So Jesus really saved me.
How has this affected your family?
Well, my mother, she's still at it. She's still strong and strong, thinking, she's very controlling and thinks she has a handle on things. She's never handled anything in a healthy way, never sought counseling. And I think maybe the one time that she did, she just made fun of the counselor and basically said, you're not writing my book. And it was just a lot of negative things that I'd rather not repeat. But she doesn't speak. I have an older sibling. She's 4.5 years older than me. She hasn't had the addiction issues. Now, she went through some things herself, a lot of things herself. And she's had a great partner, her husband, that she met when, I don't know how old she was, I think maybe 15 or 16 is when they started dating. I know that he has been somebody that I've been close to since I was 13. And they've had a great life together. They've been through their hardships and things like that, but they're still married to this day. Very happy for them. They are 30 plus years of marriage now and 5 kids. My mother doesn't speak to any of them. So, yeah. No reason for that. None. My sister's done nothing to not have a relationship with her mother, and as well as any of those grandchildren that she chooses not to call and check about, see about, doesn't care about, doesn't ask about, doesn't support, doesn't know them. And there's really no rhyme or reason why.
Cheryl's going to be back next week on Thursday at 10 a.m. with the rest of her story. Thanks for listening. You can always follow us on your favorite podcast platform or social media platform, as well as come to rachelandrecovery.com. If you have any questions, contact us either through social media or on rachelandrecovery.com. And always, thanks for listening. See you guys next time. Thanks.